Hi, I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, sitting in for Larry Mueller today. So glad you could join us here on the Ideas Network. Rebecca Cohen is a gardening and outdoor lifestyle expert whose mission is to inspire people to get off the couch and discover how simple it can be to incorporate an active outdoor lifestyle into a busy schedule. She's the author of 15 Minutes Outside, 365 Ways to Get Out of the House and Connect with Your Kids, and she's joining us by phone. Hi, Rebecca. It's so good to have you with us today.
Thank you for having me.
So let's start with kind of the obvious question. Why is it so important to spend time outside with your kids each and every day?
Well, it really is about bringing more joy into your everyday life. You're talking about living your life to the fullest, but it's also really important to connect kids with nature. It improves their cooperation. It's been shown to lessen aggression in children. And it also gives us really important vitamin D that helps ward off things like heart disease and diabetes. And really, it just makes you closer as a family, as I've found from turning my life around from not having enough time outside to really being intentional about getting outside every day. And it's time that we look forward to every day as a family.
Now, 365 different things to do on different days can seem pretty daunting if you just think of it as a whole. But when I was reading the book, a lot of the suggestions were really wonderfully simple, and I mean it in the best of ways, obvious, and easy to do with just a little planning needed, if anything. I especially like that you suggest taking usual indoor activities and moving them outside. What are a few that you've found translate especially well?
Well, it's great because it's really resonating with parents and teachers because it is a simple reminder of how we can use the time in between our schedules, how we can take our routine and take that outside, how we can build that fresh air into our daily schedule. You know, one of the ways that I like doing this is really as a parenting tool before school or before camp in the summertime. My kids will get ready faster in the morning if they have an opportunity to play 15 minutes outside before we have to leave to go anywhere. You can also do your homework outside during summertime. It's a wonderful way to keep the learning going all summer long. I find that when we're outside, it piques my kids' curiosity and their creativity. Kids can practice their ABCs with a bucket of water and a paintbrush on the sidewalk. You can get a tennis ball wet and sort of make, you know, great art with the splashes of the water and learn about evaporation. It's really just about, you know, taking a book outside even on a blanket or lying under a tree and looking up and taking our perspective to a different place.
Now, I'm guessing some people are listening saying, sure, that's easy to do in nice weather like now, but, you know, talking December, January, February, not so easy. But you actually have some indoor activities that you take outside in the middle of winter, too.
We can. You know, the concept is about looking at, you know, what if you got outside every day, no matter the weather? And even, you know, 15 minutes outside here and there, you know, it adds up to a lot of time outside over time. And the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends all year long at least 60 minutes of unstructured playtime for kids outside. And so, you know, on the days where it is, you know, too cold to get outside or it's not working with your schedule and you want some outdoor-inspired activities for inside, it's wonderful to sprout seeds on the windowsill. I even have here on my windowsill an activity that I'm taking to Chicago this weekend of just taking wet newspaper in a clear cup. You can use a glass as well. Putting two bean seeds on either side between the glass and the newspaper, and you can watch seeds sprout. And what I love about sprouting seeds on the windowsill, you can do it all year round on a sunny windowsill, and your kids are getting a hands-on lesson about the plant life cycle that they might not be getting in school, you know, maybe not until fourth grade. And so they really get to a chance to start to understand, you know, the parts of the plants, the root, the stem, the leaves, you know, how a plant actually produces fruit, that it produces the fruit or the vegetable from the flower. And these are all standards of learning that our kids have when they go to school, and they get to do them right at home with you.
I want to make sure our listeners can join in. We'd love to hear what activities you might enjoy doing with your kids, grandkids, or students outside. If you'd like to share them, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Rachel Owens, our on-air producer, is ready to take your call. You can also email us at talk@WPR.org, or feel free to post something on our Facebook page. That's The Larry Mueller Show. And actually, we did have someone on Facebook post that she used to go outside with her kids and turn over every log and rock to see who was there for the summer science program at preschool. They brought in a big old decaying log and let the kids pick it apart, look at it with magnifying glasses and microscopes, and put the critters in containers, and then let them go outside once everybody had admired them.
I love that idea.
Well, and a lot of your ideas, your activities, really involve them in getting into the habit of noticing things in nature and following kind of the trajectory of different animals and plants and other elements of the environment throughout the seasons.
Kids do start to really become more aware of the changes in the seasons and in noticing the details of nature all around them. And my first grader, for example, they went out on a new nature trail that they had at school, which is a fantastic opportunity for him. And he shared with me after school one day that when the teacher asked them what they noticed outside, my first grader, 6 years old, said that he noticed decomposing leaves. And the teacher and the other kids were really surprised and interested with his choice of words. And that's simply because he is really in tune with noticing, looking. It sparks conversation among us and kind of a deeper dive into what's going on in nature at any given time during the year. And so that's what's helpful about the book as well, is that it just gives some timely ideas for simple and easy ways that you can take advantage of the season. And one example for summer right now, especially, would be to enjoy, you know, all the pick-your-own opportunities. Mm-hmm. The chef just talked about how it's strawberry season. And, you know, Memorial Day weekend, where I live in Virginia, there is a huge strawberry festival. And for the last 3 years, I've been wanting to go and haven't been in town. And I made sure that we made time in between a soccer tournament weekend that I took my younger son out there to go strawberry picking. And it was just such a wonderful opportunity. And when you're in touch with the seasons that way, you know that you need to take advantage of these opportunities when they arise and start to recognize when they are available.
Well, and going back to what we were talking with Chef Michael Fecker about too, helping kids get a sense that, you know, there are seasons to different foods and that they're extra special because strawberries are in season now. And yes, you might see strawberries in the grocery store in October, but they're not going to have that same right off the vine flavor because the vine is probably 3,000 miles away.
Exactly. And in addition to picking strawberries, they also had a vegetable patch at this farm. And as soon as we were done picking strawberries, my son said, "Mom, can we pick some vegetables too?" So we went and picked some peas and bok choy. And the taste of those pea pods were just extraordinary. And that's one of the vegetables that I encourage every family to start sprouting and planting. And they love early spring cool temperatures, but the taste of a sweet pea is so different than anything that they might otherwise experience any time of the year.
Well, and you're a gardener, and a lot of the activities do involve planting and tending to, I mean, not just sticking them in the ground, but actually watering and weeding and things like that, tending to flowers, veggies, herbs. There's a great story of your son giving one of his little friends a garden tour of his raised bed and his friend's excited reaction to that. I think he ran to his mom and said, "He has lettuce." And he was so excited and in awe. Are kids naturally drawn to gardening, do you think?
I absolutely think so. And it's one of the ways that I love to spend my time volunteering is with schools and teaching children to plant and grow seeds, because I see their enthusiasm every time I come. You know, with any of us, even adults, you know, when you plant seeds, you wonder, are they really going to grow? And so to actually get that experience mm-hmm. of, you know, making sure that the seed is in the sun and that it has water, you create this ownership and sense of responsibility and really building confidence in the ability to try something new for children. And with, you know, sunlight, water, and soil, you know, the seeds will grow. And I love giving children the opportunity to grow a vegetable, get to see it all the way through its life cycle, and get to harvest it and taste it. And it encourages them to want more. And one of the things that I wanted to do with 15 Minutes Outside was to make sure that it took out the mystery of what to do when for people who are new to gardening, because it is such a joy not only to see your kids get so into it and vested in it, but to get to a chance to do that together as a family and have it be something that's a part of your routine in going through the seasons together.
Amy in Milwaukee would like to join in, so let's go to the phone now. Hi, Amy.
Hi. I came into this late, but I really appreciate the topic. And as a teacher in the city, I would try to do things, just simple things, to get children involved in thinking about the natural world. One of the ways I did this, it wasn't necessarily bringing them outside, but I had a window bird feeder in my classroom, and I had bird identification books on the ledge. And any time a bird came to the feeder, we would look at the bird, we would identify it and write it in a log. And so we had a nice log at the end of the year of all the birds that came to our feeder. Another thing we did is we'd bring our journals outside and we'd sketch the changes we'd look at one tree, and starting in spring, we'd go out every week and we'd sketch the changes. And they just became more aware. And I also love to point out the phases of the moon, and we'd journal about that, and we'd have, you know, I'd go tell them to look at the moon, and we'd have rich discussions the next day, and I had lots of books on the moon in the classroom, but you know, just little things, simple things, and I really appreciate this topic because it doesn't take a lot. And kids are so curious. They're naturally curious. And if we can just take the time, it's just amazing what we'll talk about and what they'll discover.
Great. Thanks for that call, Amy. Rebecca?
Oh, it's such a wonderful comment, and I love the thought of the bird feeder at the window. In fact, for my mother's birthday, she's a fourth grade teacher. I gave her one to suction to the outside of her window. So I love that comment. And also I gave her along with it an outdoor thermometer for the children, and not a digital one, one where the children can, you know, go and look at the temperature and read it themselves. And they also start to associate, you know, the temperature outside and how it feels with what the temperature actually is. And my kids at home, they will look at the outdoor thermometer every morning before they get dressed for school, and it gives them a sense of independence as well, and really relating the temperature with how they need to prepare.
I remember you saying, too, that your husband would do a game with them of guessing what the temperature was outside, and so they really got a sense of what different temperatures felt like.
Yes, and we love that game. We play it all year round.
And so going back to the garden quickly, I mean, obviously planting is a great activity, but you also do some fun things like creating a little tent basically out of pole beans. And so it's both something that you can care for and harvest, and also somewhere you can hide.
I love the concept of building a bean teepee or creating one. In fact, we're doing it right now as we speak in our garden. It's wonderful to get, you know, you can get fallen branches or 6-foot stakes. You know, secure them in the ground and tie them together with twine up top, and then maybe put 4 pole bean seeds, just poke them in the soil around each stake, and you know, it'll take about 2 months to grow, but of course you get to watch it grow. It's exciting when the kids come home from camp or they want to go outside every day and check on the growth of their seeds, and they'll vine up and wrap around the stakes. And it gives a wonderful shady spot to hide in the summertime.
Great. We are going to be back with Rebecca Cohen, the author of 15 Minutes Outside, 365 Ways to Get Out of the House and Connect with Your Kids. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, in for Larry Mueller. Stay tuned. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, today sitting in for Larry Mueller. So glad you could join us on the Ideas Network. Our guest until 12:30 is Rebecca Cohen. She is the author of 15 Minutes Outside, 365 Ways to Get Out of the House and Connect with Your Kids. And Rebecca, we have several people that have been waiting patiently to get on to talk with you. So let's go right to the phone. Dee in Twigg, Minnesota is on. Hi, Dee.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. My idea is for winter, and kids love to make snow angels. And my idea is to take plastic bottles, fill them with different colors of food coloring that you've added water to, and after they've made the snow angels, they can paint the clothes on the angels. And this is for younger children, and it's good for teaching them the color wheel, because, you know, with the big amount of bottles, you can make many, many colors.
That's a great idea, Dee. Rebecca?
I love that. And a way to piggyback off of that, some of the ideas for wintertime as well in art, is you can also put food coloring in spray bottles and have the kids, you know, spray and make designs on the snow. My son also loves selecting sheets of ice outside, and he will take his watercolors and paintbrushes, and he will sit and he will paint a sheet of ice in the middle of winter, and he will sit there, and it's so cold outside, and he just loves it.
Well, and actually, Rebecca, one of the things I wanted to make sure we touched on was that even though right now in Wisconsin we're basking in some pretty nice weather and longer days, the reality is it's eventually going to be winter again. And the subtitle for your February chapter is Resist Hibernating Even on the Darkest Days. And I felt like you could have been saying that right to me, because I definitely get that hibernation instinct kicking in. Is the hardest part of it at that point of the year just getting yourself out the door?
Oh, I absolutely think so. And sometimes, you know, I'm guilty as a parent. I don't like being cold, so sometimes that prevents me from getting my whole family outside. And so one of the things that I noticed in being intentional about getting outside every single day was really the hardest part is just bundling up and taking that first step outside. And what I learned very quickly was within 15 minutes, when we are bundled up, we are running around, you know, we're naturally more active because we want to be warm. So we're chasing each other, we're laughing, we're noticing. We actually, in winter, we will explore farther and longer because there's not as much brush in the way, and we will actually have fabulous, fabulous times together.
Thanks for that call, Dee. And let's go to Beverly in Eau Claire. Hi, Beverly.
Hello.
Hi.
Rebecca, first, I wish I would have written this book after I'm listening to this. I've spent the last 40 years of my career with children of my own and 4-H children, and I also give horseback riding lessons, so we are always outside. And to sort of add on to what you've been saying, I think the biggest disservice we can do for children is to put them inside during bad weather. And I have a saying in my barn. It says there is no such thing as bad weather, just the wrong clothes. And so they've constantly called me over the years, are we having lessons today? It's raining, it's snowing, it's windy, it's blowing. And, of course, now they know not to call and ask that, because we do. We very rarely cancel. And I teach them the various things, like the difference between being out in a field and being in the woods during a very cold and windy spell, and how much warmer you can be and all the things you can do in the woods out of the wind. And they're all often amazed that there is such a difference in their comfort level between, you know, standing out in the middle of a field versus sitting in a wooded lot or whatever. So I really feel that we need to encourage kids to get out in the inclement weather and float a boat in a puddle in the middle of a rainstorm. Or one of the things we love to do that my mother taught me was to sit on the porch and watch a storm roll in and look at the cloud formations and the wind and the birds and watch the storm and bundle up and sit there on a rocking chair and watch that happen instead of running inside. So that sort of piggybacks on what you were saying earlier.
Thanks, Beverly. Rebecca, you talk a lot about kind of like what Beverly was saying, you know, that a lot of it is just being prepared and having the right gear.
Exactly. Those are such wonderful comments. I wholeheartedly agree. You know, there's plenty of gear out there that can keep us warm no matter the weather. You know, if it's raining and cold, you know, if it's windy. I've had winter picnics where we've flown a kite in Washington, D.C., and it was fantastic. Everyone was, you know, looking at us a little crazy, but they were walking around. We were just, you know, running around and having a snack. And we had hats on and our fleeces and our gloves, and we had our water bottles with us. And a lot of times, you know, any time of year, I have my outdoor to-go kit, which always changes no matter the season, but make sure that we're prepared for a spontaneous adventure and that we're more likely to get outside. So in the wintertime, of course, we have all of our bins for our hats and our gloves that have our names on them, and the kids know where to put them back so we can always find them. But we always have a backpack with water bottles and a snack like pretzels. And we have pocket nature guides that we love to stick in there. And I love to have a picnic blanket in the car all year round because it just helps us be prepared but also encourages us to get outside. And by stepping outside with my kids, I show them that this is important to me and it's important to us as a family. And they know that getting outside every day is part of something that they're required to do, and they love it.
And you mentioned kite flying, and I think Brian in Wauwatosa might have something to add on that. Hi, Brian.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
Good, good. Yeah, you just touched on kite flying during the winter. It's not just limited to spring and summer, but you can go flying anytime you want. The other part of kite flying is making kites. And what you can do is a lot of recycling with plastic bags or Tyvek envelopes. And the internet is just jam-packed with 101 ideas for kids' kites. I have a web address, if I could give that to you.
Sure.
Okay, this is a friend of mine out in Philadelphia did a program for some cable television station out there. And it's called activitytv.com/host/Cliff Quinn. And he has a series of videos where he goes from very easy to slightly complex kites, and all made out of simple materials that you have laying around the house. You can study weather. You can study history of kites. It's a good indoor activity, and when you get them made, wait for a good day, and you can go out and fly.
Thanks for that call, Brian. Rebecca, I think that one of the things that Brian just touched on is that a lot of your activities really don't require much, if any, equipment, or if it does, it's pretty simple to put together yourself.
Absolutely. Most of the ideas in the book are free, and that's what makes it just such a great reference tool. I mean, families are keeping it on their supper table to look through and find activity ideas, because most of the ideas are things that you have laying around. And one child even calls it their adventure book, which I think is so cool.
Great. Thanks for that call. And let's go to Kyle in Madison. He's been waiting a little bit. Hi, Kyle.
Hello.
What's your idea? Good.
Well, my suggestion is to join a community garden and to it gets you out on a regular basis to actually, you know, weed and do all those things. And we did it a couple years ago, and the family loved it, and it actually, you know, got us eating healthy foods and you know, kind of understanding the cycle of food, you know, at least vegetables and fruits. And the kids were always looking forward to riding their bike over to the community garden to, you know, to actually see what's growing lately, and, you know, maybe do a little bit of weeding or, you know, seeing what's new in the garden. It was a lot of fun.
Thanks, Kyle. And Rebecca, I know that besides talking about planting your own garden, you also suggest that if people don't have the space or the time that a full-fledged garden might take, that maybe the school garden wouldn't mind having a little help over the summer.
Absolutely. It's a great way as a family to show stewardship and responsibility and care, and giving an opportunity for the rest of the community to enjoy a garden and the harvest from a garden. You can even grow a row for those and who don't have the food and donate to a food bank. But I've also looked at, so that's a way that we volunteer in the summertime as a family, which is great. And then also you can, a lot of community gardens now, you need the volunteers for the community, and it's a great community activity to do as a family.
I love that a lot of food pantries are now able to accept fresh produce donations, because, you know, it really doesn't often, almost always, I would say, you end up with more seeds than you need to plant, you know, whatever you're going to eat, and maybe you have just a little corner in your garden that you can throw some extra things in. And it really is a very satisfying thing to be able to do.
Absolutely. It's a wonderful feeling to give food.
And I want to make sure people know that they can join in the conversation by calling 1-800-642-1234. You can also email talk@WPR.org, or you can leave us a message on our Facebook page, The Larry Mueller Show. We're talking with Rebecca Cohen, who is the author of 15 Minutes Outside, 365 Ways to Get Out of the House and Connect with Your Kids. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, sitting in today for Larry Mueller. We'd love to have you join our conversation. And let's go to Laura in Arpin. Hi, Laura.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a couple of things that I love to do, and one of them is actually led by the moon, I suppose, night hikes. And in the winter, they're fantastic when the moon is full. Because it gets dark so early, we can actually do a night hike and still get the kids back in bed in time for, you know, a good night's sleep before school starts the next day. And in say, late January or February. If the full moon is around then, we hear the owls hooting, and it's like a great adventure because when else do you get to be out at nighttime when it's dark? And, you know, my kids are 4, 6, and 8, so it really is an adventure. And then in the summertime, there's things like lightning bugs to catch. So that's one of our favorites. But then the other thing that we do a lot is I just let my kids lead. What is it that they want to do? There's always one area somewhere in our yard where the kids can dig however, you know, however much they want. I don't care. if the lawn gets torn up there or whatever, that's their space. And about a week ago, my son uncovered a blue-spotted salamander when he was just out digging. And so sometimes just that free time outside, I don't know, lends itself to really cool discoveries.
So I'm guessing that Rebecca would agree with that.
Oh, wholeheartedly. Definitely giving your kids a place to dig is just such a wonderful gift to them because it really lets them get their hands dirty, lets them discover, and give them some, you know, the freedom and the time to explore. And one of our favorite things to do in the wintertime is stargazing. We've seen the most clear, starry skies in the wintertime. And I love that concept that she brought up, that you can get outside and see the stars because they come out early and you can still explore and then get to bed.
Oh, and you also mentioned in the book that without the leaves on the trees, you can actually see a lot more easily, too.
You can see a lot more. You can see the nests. You can see the outlines of the different trees. You really get to get up close to bark and take a look at it. You can even sort of get to know a tree, you know, play a game where you close your eyes and you pick a tree and you get to know it. And then, you know, whoever is with you sort of leads you away from it. And then maybe you can try to go back and find it based on what you got to know just with your senses.
We had a comment on Facebook from a listener who said that now that her son is 12, she thinks of things to do that he likes to do and that still require her supervision. So he has a good excuse to have mom around. But also she asks him to teach her how to do things like catch a baseball, throw a football, or make something in the workshop. And you talk a lot about that kind of, you know, that role reversal where the kids can be the teachers and you can be the one that's being taught something new.
I love following my kids' lead, and it helps them feel important and have a sense of independence as well and makes them excited to spend time with you. And I was very inspired in the course of thinking about this book and making that resolution for my family of being intentional about getting outside every day in speaking with moms who have kids who are older, and their families have stayed connected and close as their kids have grown because they have these shared experiences together and because the parents are open and willing to try new things that the kids want to do.
You also talk about sharing memories with them of what you enjoyed as a kid, and even though it can seem like the olden days to them when we talk about just maybe 20, 30, or 40 years ago, you know, there are a lot of things that you can replicate with them. I have to say, reading about you sharing those memories with your kids and kind of thinking myself, I was kind of instantly transported back to my childhood in Chicago, where on a really hot summer night, we'd chase fireflies, and then we'd go to Johnny's Italian Beef to get Italian ices, and we'd sit outside under the kind of fluorescent yellow lights on their little patio and eat the Italian ices, and it was just heaven.
Absolutely, and these are memories that last a lifetime. And so thinking about, you know, when I wrote the book, our summer was not a summer where we were spending lots of extra money, going on vacation. Our focus of the summertime was we had to work and our kids were in camp. And so it was really a change of perspective of thinking back to my childhood. I wanted my summer to be different for my kids, and I wanted it to be one where we were creating memories together. And so just as you did, thinking back to what my summer was like as a child and the memories that I had helped me get excited about creating those new memories with my family in the time, the precious time that we did have together, and really making the most of that time. So for me, I had great memories of going to the pool after my dad got home from work. So we would all ride bikes to the pool and, you know, create our own outdoor memories together there.
We're talking with Rebecca Cohen. She's the author of 15 Minutes Outside, 365 Ways to Get Out of the House and Connect with Your Kids. We'd love to hear about your favorite childhood memories or things that you enjoy doing with kids, grandkids, students, nieces, nephews, any little people in your lives. And we'd love to have you share those if you call 1-800-642-1234. We have some lines open now. You can also email us at talk@WPR.org. And Mike in Oshkosh would like to join in. So let's go to him. Hi, Mike.
Hey, great show today.
Thanks.
One of my favorite things we used to do when I was younger, my parents would take us out in the woods in the winter, send us out to gather up some dry twigs, dig a hole in the snow, start a little campfire, and then get a couple green sticks and either roast a hot dog or a marshmallow, and then when you were all finished, you just kicked the snow back in the hole, and it was just a lot of fun for us. We did that many times.
That sounds great. Rebecca?
Oh, I love that. You know, just going out together and having that space in your schedule to just be together, I think really lends itself to sharing more with one another. You know, we walk to and from school every day, and just that time together, my kids open up like they usually don't when we're in the house.
And kind of going off of what he was just talking about, you have a really interesting way to make s'mores without a campfire.
You don't need a campfire to make s'mores, that's right. There is an idea that came from a third grade teacher that she uses to teach her kids about solar energy, and they're called solar s'mores. And so what she does in, you know, toward the end of the school year that you can do in the summertime as well, is you can wrap up in tinfoil two graham crackers with a marshmallow and a piece of chocolate in between, wrap them up, place them outside on the sidewalk for 10 minutes, and in 10 minutes you'll have that nice melted s'more. And if you're hiking as a family, what I love about this idea is you can, you know, do the same thing, wrap it up in your backpack, and then when you're ready to take a break for a snack, it's already there for you.
And then you can talk about the concept of solar ovens and what's going on and enjoy that chocolatey goodness at the same time.
That's right.
And we had an email from a caller in Spring Green, Colleen, said that she has fun with her kids filling food jars with oil, water, food coloring, and cornmeal and seeing how it layers. It's also interesting, she says, to drop salt on top of it and watch how it settles.
That's a great idea.
I can practically hear you taking notes on that one.
I think so.
Let's go back to the phones. We have Carol in Oshkosh. Hi, Carol.
Hi. Listening to this show has been so much fun. When we were growing up, we had a lot of opportunities to do things with both my mom in the summer and with some of the neighbor kids. We were always doing some type of little science project or exploring some little nook or cranny of the park. And one of my fondest memories was taking the bus down to South Shore Beach and collecting beautiful rocks and lake-washed glass, and bringing everything home, and then we washed them, and we didn't have a rock tumbler, so we coated them with floor wax, if you remember what that was like, and it dried clear and enhanced all the colors of the rocks, and then we opened up our old geography books, geology books, and identified them. So it became not only an adventure, but then the learning process as well. I've done that with kids that I babysat for as a teen, and they just thought it was the best, just the best thing since sliced bread. And I've also done that with my nephews, and they all have rock collections now.
I think it's interesting. Thanks for that, Carol, because I think kids are naturally collectors, first of all. And I think they're also kind of they kind of like organizing things. And so whether it's rocks or leaves or pressed flowers, it's kind of the sky's the limit for that kind of activity. Right, Rebecca?
Absolutely. There are several ways that you can encourage your kids to collect and organize at the same time. You can make a nature container, you know, just a plastic container with a lid, where they can have an opportunity to put some of the things that they collect from outside and then open it up again. You know, it's great for a rainy day. If you don't have the opportunity to get outside, you know, they can take their nature container with them wherever they may be and play with it and build things. You can also take a clear shoe rack that you place over the door, and the kids can display some of the things that they collect, which is really nice, and they can exchange them in and out. And even you can take an egg carton and send the kids out to explore and, you know, put things in each of the holes, but then they can also collect and compare and put like things together, whether that's by touch or size, you know, however they see them. And it's great to be able to get a chance to experience that activity through their eyes.
Rebecca, it's clear that not only your kids have benefited from this experiment and this experience, but you've certainly gotten a lot out of the 15 minutes a day commitment too. What would you say are the biggest things that you as a parent or just as a person have gained from it?
15 minutes outside is definitely a concept that applies to anyone. And I would say definitely for me, that time outside every day. So I get outside as a family, but then also I make sure that I get my own 15 minutes outside every day. And it gives me space to reflect. And really it was through that that I discovered, you know, that this was my passion in life. And I felt very strongly that everyone could benefit from this time outside and this space in between. And so that's definitely time that I give myself. And I would say I am a much calmer person when I give myself that fresh air. And I know that it's up to me, you know, every day. The amount of fresh air that my kids get is really up to me every single day. So it really, you know, brings forth a responsibility that I feel that I have to my family, but also absolutely to myself. It definitely keeps me more active, too.
Well, June is National Get Outdoors Month, so it's a great time for people to start doing that. And Rebecca Cohen, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Rebecca Cohen is the author of 15 Minutes Outside, 365 Ways to Get Out of the House and Connect with Your Kids. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. I've been sitting in for Larry Miller today. I hope you'll stay tuned to the Ideas Network.